Committee on Rules for Wednesday, February 13th. We have several items on the agenda today. We're going to start with a work session on the introduction of committee measures. So I will open a work session. Ms. Seiler?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. We have two LCs for introduction today. LC 2081, which removes requirement that local government allow property owner to refuse consent to historic property designation, and LC 3654, which is urges Congress to pass legislation requiring states to eliminate barriers to voting.
Thank you very much. Madam Vice Chair?
Mr. Chair, I move the following LCs be introduced as a committee bill. LC 2081, relating to consent to historic property designation, and LC 3654, urging Congress to pass legislation requiring states to eliminate barriers to voting.
Okay, Vice Chair Hoyle moves that LC 2081 and LC 3654 be introduced as committee bills. Is there any discussion on the motion? Any objection? Hearing none, so ordered. Measures are introduced as committee bills. Okay, I'll now close the work session and open a public hearing on HCR 8. We're going to juggle the agenda as needed to accommodate members who are in as best as we can. So we're going to start with HCR 8 and call Representative Frederick, please. Do you want to explain what this is?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. HCR 8 commends and honors Clara Peoples for her cultural and humanitarian contributions to her community and Oregon. There is no revenue impact and no fiscal impact on the measure.
Please proceed.
Thank you, Chair Jarrett and members of the committee. I am Representative Lou Frederick, House District 43, North and Northeast Portland. I'm here today to talk about Clara Peoples, a beloved elder of our community. Clara single-handedly brought recognition in Oregon to the oldest African-American holiday, Juneteenth. Juneteenth celebrates June 19th, 1865, when word of the Emancipation Proclamation finally reached Galveston, Texas, leading to celebrations, and still the celebrations continue as the long-delayed news spread. Clara moved to Portland in 1945 to work in the Kaiser Shipyard, and she started by using the plant's public address system to announce the holiday and spread the word. 2001, 56 years after first introducing the Juneteenth celebration to Portland, Clara Peoples organized community members to urge Senator Abel Gordley to sponsor Senate Joint Resolution 31, declaring Juneteenth, June 19th, to be a day to celebrate statewide the dignity and the freedom of all citizens. But Clara is also known for her work feeding residents of North and Northeast Portland, first in her own home, making upwards of 30 sack lunches a day. In 1969, Clara started her own nonprofit, the Community Care Association. It's considered one of the first, possibly the very first, established food banks in the United States. She tracked down surplus food, organized second harvest, and insisted that assistance be given respectful of the dignity of the persons and the families in need. Clara has dedicated her life to working to help and uplift others. If she saw a problem, she made it her mission to fix it. She serves as an example and an inspiration for North and Northeast Portland community, the folks of all races and all Oregonians. I want to thank you for considering HCR 8 to commend and honor Clara Peoples' cultural and humanitarian contributions to her community and her state and our state. I urge you to approve this resolution.
Thank you, Representative, very much for your work bringing this to us. Any questions for Representative Frederick? Thank you very much.
Thank you. Take care.
I don't believe anyone else is here to testify, correct? So we'll close the public hearing on HCR 8, and I will open a work session on HCR 8. There you go.
Mr. Chair, I move that HCR 8 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Vice Chair Hoyle moves that House Concurrent Resolution 8 be adopted, be moved to the floor with recommendation that it be adopted. Any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so order, and Representative Frederick will be the carrier of that resolution, please. Representative Olson. We'll open a public hearing on HCR 2 and call Representative Olson, please. And Ms. Seiler, would you give us a description?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. HCR 2 memorializes Mario Pastega in 1916 to 2012.
Representative Carrera. Well, good afternoon, Mr. Chair and committee members. My name is Andy Olson. I'm state representative from the Albany area, and I appreciate you taking the opportunity to listen to this right now. The HCR 2 basically recognizes let me get my bearings here. Hello, Mario Pastega. And before I go any further, Representative Gelser and also former Senator Morris were wanting to be here too, but other things have changed, so they're not here. But the thing is that you can read, you know, obviously you can read what the resolution says. I just wrote some notes down to myself really quick, just some things that are not here that I think you'd find kind of interesting about this man. He was born in Weed, California, December 12, 1960, 16, and then he passed away January 20th, 2012, up in Bellevue, Washington, after having battled pneumonia for a whole month. But the dash, it's always interesting to see the dash between those two dates, I find. And there's just a little bit of this that I just want to share with you what a lot of people don't know and is not captured in this. One of the things that a lot of people weren't aware of is that as Mario had left the service, being in the Navy during World War II, he always had been somewhat of an entrepreneur. So the first thing he did was, once he got out, he jumped into purchasing a Pepsi plant and started growing that. When the smoke settles, he has a plant in Klamath Falls, Medford, Tillamook. He created one in Mount Angel, bottling company. And his largest one was in Corvallis. And his heart was really in Corvallis for what he did for folks there and everything. He married his wife, Alma. They had been married for 70 years. And then she passed away in 2008. But there's another piece here that you got to know. I mean, we have a member in our on the House floor, you know, Bruce Hanna, that is a Coca-Cola dealer. And his father, Leroy, started the Coca-Cola plant and distribution down in Roseburg. Here's the thing you don't know. Years ago, there was a fire that occurred in the Roseburg plant for the Hannas. And it destroyed a lot of their product down there. Mario had a huge shipment of course, product that crossed the aisle, so to speak, you know, with the folks down there, but brought like Diet Dr. Pepper, 7-Up, those kind of things that worked with Coca-Cola industry. But he recognized that, and it was that type of effort, that kind of heart that this gentleman would move forward with. And I think with that, I'll stop, but I would really encourage you to move this forward to the House floor for us. At that time, we'll go even in greater detail, because you can sit back and you can read this. But this man really had a heart for the community, for the state of Oregon. It was very service-oriented mindset, and this would be great to honor him.
Thank you. Representative Denbrough.
I guess I would... Representative Olson, I guess I would just wonder if Representative Hanna will be supportive of this measure.
Okay.
Yeah, Chair Garrett, Representative Denbrough, I think so, because he's already been through this before. We've been counseling with him.
Okay. Thank you.
Senator Close, would you like to come forward and testify alongside Representative Olson?
I was here for House Current Resolution 2.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. I'm Senator Betsy Close, and thank you very much for hearing this bill today. I am very honored today to join with my colleagues in the legislature today to celebrate the life of Mario Pastega. From the moment I met Mario, I knew that here was a giant of a man, gracious, prosperous, generous, and equipped with a vision of what he wanted to accomplish on the earth and a great faith in God that gave him that possibility. Mario Pastega accomplished much: three Pepsi dealerships, nine grandsons, a Mario Pastega house for families of cancer victims to be able to stay in Corvallis. His greatest legacy was his example of service to his community. He also ran for the Oregon House at one point. I remember Mr. Pastega's many donations to private nonprofit groups whenever we would have picnics in Corvallis. If you needed soft drinks, you just called Mario Pastega, and he even brought the cups. He was always there for groups that were fundraising and small groups that needed help. At his funeral, it came out that he had four words that he lived by: work, love, give, and care. What an inspiration for all of us to live by. So in honor of a truly great Oregonian, I ask for your aye vote on HCR 2.
2.
Thank you.
Thank you. Any further questions? All right. Thank you both. And Representative Olson, although Representative Gelser is not here today, she made a special request to be the carrier of this bill. So if it's okay with you, I will ask her to do that.
That really hurts. That's why.
All right. She texted me all the way from Indiana. We'll close the public hearing on HCR 2. And nobody else has signed up, so we will open a work session on HCR 2. Madam Vice Chair.
Mr. Chair, I move HCR 2 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Vice Chair Hoyle moves HCR 2 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, the motion passes, and Representative Gelser will carry that. Where are we going next? Okay, now we open a public hearing on HCR 7. And while Representative Dougherty comes forward, Ms. Tyler, would you explain this resolution, please?
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. HCR 7 memorializes Patty Whiting, 1940 to 2010. There is no fiscal and no revenue impact.
Good afternoon.
Thank you very much, Chair Garrett, members of the committee. For the record, I'm Margaret Doherty of House District 35, Tigerton, Southwest Portland. I'm here today to speak in favor of HRC 7, which honors Patricia Whiting. Representative Whiting was the representative for the people of Tigerton, and in particular was a community member in the Metzger area of our community. She was the daughter of migrant farm workers. She worked her way through college and was supporting her family during that time and graduated from the University of California, San Jose, where she received her bachelor's. She later moved to Oregon and received her master's degree in public administration from Lewis and Clark. Representative Whiting was a pioneer. When she was elected to the House in November of 1972, she was a woman, but she was also a minority and was one of the, the only minority in the House at the time. During her three terms in the House, she was instrumental in initiating the Oregon Project Independence to help seniors stay in their homes. She co-sponsored legislation banning the use of fluorocarbons and aerosol cans. In fact, her environmental initiative took her to the national stage by debating a DuPont representative on the Today Show. Representative Whiting was also a community leader in her efforts to lower poverty in her own community and in Washington County. She served on the Washington County Community Action Board of Directors. She served as chair of the Metzger Citizen Participation Organization and worked tirelessly to make Tigerton a better community. I am honored and humbled today to bring this resolution to you. She was honored last year after her death during the 100-year celebration of the little community of Metzger. The Metzger Hall Park is now referred to as the Patricia D. Whiting Memorial Hall, and I would love to put a resolution in the hall next to her picture to have the entire legislature honor her. Representative Whiting was an inspirational community leader, a legislator, a wife, and a sister. And I ask you to pass this resolution to the House floor, where she served so admirably. Thank you very much, and I'm open to questions.
Thank you. Any questions for our colleague? Guess not. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much.
No additional testimony on that, so we'll close the public hearing on HCR 7, and I will open a work session on HCR 7.
Mr. Chair, I move HCR 7 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation.
Vice Chair Hoyle moves HCR 7 to the floor with a be adopted recommendation. Is there any discussion? Any objection? Seeing none, so the motion is passed, and Representative Dougherty, will you please be the carrier? Thank you. To open a public hearing on House Bill 2352.
Mr. Chair, members of the committee, House Bill 2352 designates August 9th of each year as Born and Dole Day. And Senator Thompson
and Representative Kenemer, please.
And Steve Bates, please.
And Steve Bates.
And just for committee members, we did receive testimony from John Ludlow, Chair of the Clackamas County Commission, ahead of time, and that should be available to you on the OLA system.
Please proceed.
Sure. Chair Garrett, Vice Chair, and Committee, thanks for having us here today. I am Chuck Thompson, Senator, District 26. I used to represent all of Boring. After redistricting, I just get a little bit. I still enjoy going there serving strawberry waffles every year, and I'm here to support House Bill 2352. I will not bore you with the details. I'm going to turn that over. But I'm not going to go there because I'm really hoping for support from the committee. So thanks for having me, and on with the show.
For the record, I'm Bill Kenemer, State Representative, District 39. And with reapportionment, it is now my privilege and delight to now represent Boring, Oregon. And this local community is named after a founding area family, and it is a remarkable Boring. As Steve Bates, who's sitting next to me, and you'll hear from him in a moment, the unofficial mayor of Boring will share with you next, there's a lot of Boring enthusiasm, excitement, and collaboration occurring as Boring develops its relationship with Dull Scotland. Steve will discuss the economic and social benefits of recognizing August 9th as the commemoration of the pairing of Boring, Oregon, and Dull Scotland as a pair for the ages. It's been an exciting, dulling experience to see both this relationship and the community spirit emerge from this long-acknowledged Boring area. For your information, ODOT has a sign on 82nd Avenue to send you out to Boring, and it reads Boring, and then the second line, cemeteries. Just thought I'd pause. Our Board of Clackamas County Commissioners have articulated well the unique similarities between the two communities and offered their support of House Bill 2352 with a letter which is on file with the committee. I bring this bill forward with some Boring and Dull trepidation. Realizing there are a lot of lawyers around here, I am hopeful that you will ignore the relating clause, that is, relating to Boring and Dull. For our fear is there might be an irresistible urge to amend many, if not most, of our bills from this session into House Bill 2351. Or on the other hand, given the likelihood of our future 5 months in Salem, you may want to avail yourself of joining a host of others who are contacting a Boring travel agent and arranging to spend some time later in this year, dulling or Boring, or perhaps just Boring somewhere else. Thank you.
Thank you.
I thought you deserved that treatise, Mr. Chair and members. Thank you.
Chair Garrett and committee members, thank you for this opportunity to share my thoughts and some Boring and Dull history. My name is Steve Bates, and it's been said that I am the self-appointed mayor of Boring. While we're not a city, Boring is an unincorporated area on the fringe of the Portland metro area in the rural Clackamas County. Boring has a citizens community planning organization known as Clackamas County, in Clackamas County as a CPO. I serve as the chair of the Boring Community Planning Organization. This all started just about a year ago with an innocent email from Emma, a member of the Dole Women's Book Club in Scotland. This email asked if Boring Oregon would consider twinning with Dole Scotland. After some deliberations, a declaration was prepared and shared with the people of Dole by email. They liked it so much that they proceeded to enlist their elected officials to adopt the pairing of Boring and Dole, and they even erected a sign honoring this pairing. After the news of the adoption in Scotland, the news went around the world with thousands of written news articles, television, and radio reports on every continent. The Boring Community Planning Organization voted unanimously to adopt the declaration that Boring Oregon and Dole Scotland are paired communities on June the 5th of 2012. Boring and Dole, a pair for the ages. Scotland argues that it is dull and boring. We maintain it is boring and dull. This attention has attracted tourism and commerce to our section of the state. We ask that the state legislature help us promote our community and local economy by adopting House Bill 2352. We are working with Clackamas County and the Oregon Department of Transportation for appropriate signage to match the sign erected in Scotland. It has been said that while New York has its Times Square, Boring must have its Boring and Dole sign. With a name like Boring, we really needed Dole to help us attract attention. Just so you know, we are serious about our jocularity. The pairing of Boring and Dole is helping us reach for a spirit of community. Shirts, hats, and mugs are being sold around the country honoring this pairing. This merchandise is purchased from a local Boring business. Boring is currently scheduling a Boring to Dole group tour to Scotland, administered by a Boring travel agent. The Boring Oregon Foundation is raffling a trip to Dole, Scotland to raise money towards a Boring community and senior center. We are urging one of our newest businesses, the Boring Brewing Company, to create a recipe and brew a Boring and Dole Scottish Ale. Plans are in the works for a Boring and Dole Day community social in the park. You're all invited. Please join us as we reach for the spirit of community and make every August 9th a Boring and Dole Day throughout the state of Oregon. As you can see, this is a big deal for Boring. This is a big deal for Oregon. What is good for Boring can only help the whole of Oregon. Please pass this bill on and let Oregon have a Boring and Dole Day every August the 9th. Thank you.
Thank you very much. I hesitate to ask if there are any questions because I'm afraid you might have even more puns with which to answer them. But are there any questions for our guests?
We thank you for that boring response.
Thank you very much for being here, Mr. Mayor. I guess we'll close the public hearing on House Bill 2352 and after an open work session. Love the enthusiasm. A work session on House Bill 2352.
Mr. Chair, I move House Bill 2352 to the floor with a due pass recommendation.
Vice Chair Hoyle moves House Bill 2352 to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion? Representative Denver.
Thank you. Mr. Chair, I will say that I came to this hearing a bit skeptical of this measure, but I was very impressed with the testimony. And the only thing that will cause me to support this with some trepidation is just imagining what Representative Kenemer's speech on the floor is going to be to this bill.
I'm actually thinking of having you be the carrier. Any other discussion? Representative Halsey?
I was just curious about a fiscal impact statement. I didn't see one.
There is no fiscal impact.
Oh, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Hopefully a good one on the town of Boring.
That will be a story.
Revenue impact. Yes.
Yes.
All right. Any objection? Seeing none, motion passes. Representative Kenemer.
Thank you.
Carry the bill. Committee will stand at ease for a few minutes. We're waiting for the presenters in our final...
House Bill 2289 and House Bill 2387, direct Oregon State Capital Foundation to raise funds and commission statue of Mark Hatfield to be placed at National Statuary Hall in the United States Capitol. There is a no revenue impact. There's a minimal fiscal impact. No statement was issued.
Okay, thank you. And Senator or either representative, in any order you wish.
It's okay, Mr. Chair. I'd like to begin, and then we'll go in succession with a couple of other, I hope, good surprises for you. Vic Gilliam from Silverton, and I appreciate very much, Mr. Chair, you having this hearing, as well as all the other members who are here today. President Abraham Lincoln, born yesterday, signed the original bill to establish Statuary Hall in the United States Capitol. It was in 1864. And as you probably all are aware, each legislature is allowed up to two individuals from their state to be represented in Statuary Hall, one in the Statuary Hall and one somewhere else in the Capitol. Oregon has two that we designated and a third that came about by another circumstance. It was 1953 that we unveiled our statues and placed them there. And our two statues, as you probably know, are John McLaughlin and Jason Lee. And they're there to represent us for everybody that works there and everybody that visits there every day. And since 1953, you can imagine how many more people work in the Capitol and how many more visitors come, particularly with a brand new, fairly brand new visitor center that I'm sorry that I have not been able to see. So many states have updated or changed their statues over the years. And the prescription for changing is quite precise. So you mentioned, Mr. Chair, the two bills, and I wanted to explain those. Representative Reed and I had intended to drop two bills. One, they're almost identical. One would have a blank for consideration of whoever it is that we send back there, and the other would be our preferred nominee, Senator Mark Hatfield. Legislative Council, when writing the bills, discovered that because of the restrictions of the federal statute around statues, say that several times fast, that you had to name the name of the person that you're nominating. So you'll see your bill says Mark Hatfield. Now, I believe that Dexter Johnson is listening or in the room. He may not be in the room, but he's
effective.
Oh, good. So he's here. He's here to answer that question if you have other aspects of that or of the bill. And so I will leave it to Dexter if you have other questions. The other thing I want to bring to your attention is an amendment that you have in front of you that I think simplifies the bill and simply states that instead of two organizations, one,
we don't have
the amendment.
So you'll have to explain it. But
our amendment simply says instead of both nonprofits, we would name exclusively Oregon Historical Society.
I take it back. We do have it. Sorry.
Thanks for taking it back. Mm-hmm. And the Oregon Historical Society has assured us of their exuberance and excitement over the bill and their ability to raise the funds. So we simplified the bill, and that's all that amendment does. It's fairly simple. So I would say also, just my own personal opinion on the fundraising, I believe Representative Reed and Senator Johnson share this. We didn't want any public funds to be spent to do this. Furthermore, speaking personally, I believe the fundraising efforts around a Mark Hatfield statue will be extremely successful, so that there would be no fiscal, or a better way to put that is, private funds would come forward to fund the statue. All I guess to sum up my part of this is that I would say this isn't so much a bill about replacing Jason Lee. This is a bill about modernizing Oregon's image in Statuary Hall with what I think is a modern hero, pioneer, and statesman, Mark Hatfield. And I hope you'll give serious consideration to this. After Representative Reed takes the microphone, and then we may have a guest from Willamette University, Jim Sumner. We'd like to also show you a very short clip from a documentary that has not been released, and you have the DVD, I think, queued up. It'll just be a short one, but I think you'll enjoy it very much. And then, with your indulgence, I hope, and her indulgence, I hope that Senator Johnson will close. So thank you, Mr. Chair. With your indulgence, I'll turn it over to Representative Reed.
Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, committee members. I'm Tobias Reed from Beaverton, here following the direction of our stage manager, Representative Gilliam. And really, just to underscore what he has already told you, we learned a lot about the process and the details around Statuary Hall as we've explored this topic a little bit over the last session. I think Representative Gilliam did an able job describing our aim here. And I will confess, as a graduate of Willamette, I have been exposed to a lot of the history and contributions that Senator Hatfield has made to our state, and following on some of the other states around the country who've taken the opportunity to reassess who represents them in the Capitol. I think it's time for us to do that. There are a number of worthy individuals who might merit that honor, and this bill, as Representative Gilliam has said, has to pick one. So we've picked Senator Hatfield, but I suspect many of us would be supportive of other efforts and other people should that interest you. So I'm excited about the possibility. Appreciate hearing, and hope we'll be able to move the bill. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Thank you both. Any questions before we watch the short video?
Is it okay if we get the lights?
Yeah. He strode through so much of the history of those years, you know, from the late 50s through into the 80s and into the 90s, for almost a half a century. This guy's name and face kept popping up in big deals.
I think what is perfectly evident is you don't have a person who hedged and trimmed throughout his career and was courageous at isolated moments. You have a courageous person throughout a career who, at very specific moments, demonstrated that courage in very vivid ways.
A gentleman of the highest order and well-respected. And I liked one feature about him. He did not really believe in partisanship. He had just as many Democratic friends as Republican friends.
I learned a lot because people would say to me, well, Mark Hatfield, he's a Republican, therefore X, Y, Z. Well, no, he's not that kind of Republican. You can't label him that way and describe him with any integrity.
And I thought, this is really the type of person we want in public office, someone who is thinking hard about the effects of the policy, about the principles, about how do you make the nation work better, how do you make the world a better place. And so it was that vision, and then seeing him do that on a daily basis.
Mark, I don't think anybody can match Mark Hatfield. When I say that, the tenure, the integrity, the honesty for a long period of time, governor, U.S. senator, for years and years, that won't be matched.
My dad said he was a man of integrity, a great leader amongst his people, a great leader in Oregon, and also fighting for Oregon. What better person to represent Oregon than Mark Hatfield?
My view of him is that he's the greatest politician, statesman in the history of the state, and shouldn't be considered that until someone else comes along and does something more remarkable than he did.
But when we think about our real senior senator, it's Mark Hatfield because of his decency, because of his sense of fairness, because of his willingness to build coalitions, to get Democrats, Republicans, liberals, conservatives, you name it, together around policies that made Oregon and America a better place.
He was the best. You know, I went in to Washington, D.C. as a 21-year-old. Mark Hatfield was my hero. And I left 6 years later seeing him as very human, and he was still my hero.
There won't be another Mark Hatfield. I mean, I hope there is, but it's going to be a
difficult to find that person.
Great. Senator, are you going to wrap things up for us?
I would be more than happy to, unless our stage manager indicates someone from Willamette.
No, you're on.
All right. Mr. Chairman and members of the committee, for the record, my name is Betsy Johnson, and it is my privilege to represent the citizens of Senate District 16. I'm here today because I'm a lifelong card-carrying member of the Marco Hatfield Fan Club. As many of you know, my mother and father were deeply involved in public service, and from my earliest days, I can remember my parents first talking about and then welcoming Mark Hatfield and his family into our home. My parents were building a house when Mark Hatfield was running for governor for the first time, and I vividly recall, even if I was a small child, Antoinette Hatfield crawling up onto a steep pitched roof to shake hands with all of the roofers in evidence of her desire to have her husband elected governor. I consider myself incredibly fortunate to have, until his passing in August of 2011, considered Mark Hatfield a friend. I'm not a trained historian, but I have no doubt that whether it's a century or two centuries from now, Mark Hatfield will be remembered as Oregon's preeminent public servant. For 46 consecutive years, from January 1951, when he was sworn in as a member of the Oregon House, to January 1997, when he retired from the United States Senate, Mark Hatfield served our state and our nation with intelligence, integrity, and effectiveness. Contrary to what some of you might think, I haven't been around long enough to know Jason Lee, and I certainly bear him no ill will. But I do believe that with the passage of time, it's clear that a statue of Mark Hatfield belongs in the United States Capitol as an enduring symbol of what he meant to our state and our country. Let me add, Mr. Chairman, that if this bill passes, the heavy lifting of raising the money to pay the expenses involved with the sculpting, the transportation of the new statue, will fall to the Oregon Historical Society. I can't help but think that it is very fitting, since Mark Hatfield was a great student of history and a stalwart supporter of the Oregon Historical Society. It also serves as a reminder of the continuing obligation, an obligation enshrined in Oregon statute, that this legislature has to support the work of the Oregon Historical Society. It is an obligation that the legislature abdicated for 4 years last decade. And because of this abdication, OHS, which has been the guardian of Oregon's heritage since 1898, temporarily struggled to survive. But thanks in no small part to the fact that the 2011 legislature saw fit to provide $2.5 million in funding to the Oregon Historical Society, OHS has made a remarkable rebound and is stronger and more vibrant than ever. And I would add in no small measure thanks to their dedicated president, Kerry Timchuk. I was delighted to see that the governor's budget recognizes the priceless contributions that OHS provides to our state by providing them with $500,000 in funding. I believe, however, that this funding level needs to be raised, and I will seek to do that this session. 100 years ago, we made a deal with OHS. We said, in essence, Oregon's executive branch in the legislature will be the custodian of our written word, but that OHS would be the keeper of that tangible treasure that is the physical history of Oregon. 200 million photographs, the branding iron of Lewis and Clark, the coin that was flipped to decide what Portland was called, don't take care of themselves. In my view, a deal is a deal, and if we are to acquire, preserve, curate, display, research, and learn from the physical history of Oregon, we must do so by supporting the mission of OHS. Mr. Chairman, let me close by remembering that it was exactly 1 year ago tomorrow, Statehood Day 2012, when the legislature passed a resolution paying tribute to Senator Hatfield. And as we prepare to mark Oregon's 154th birthday, there could be no better way to celebrate than ensuring that a statue of Mark Hatfield will forever represent our beloved Oregon in the United States Capitol. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Senator. Any questions? Yes, Representative Barnhart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Chair, Representative Reed, I note that Jason Lee was the founder of the city of Salem and also the founder of your alma mater, And my recollection is, I haven't looked this up, but my recollection is that Hatfield was a dean, or at least a professor, at that same school, much more recently, obviously. This must be an interesting conflict for you, facing the replacement of the founder with a much later successor. I happen to agree with the intent of the bill, but I find that that puts you in an interesting spot, it seems to me.
Mr. Chair, Representative Barnhart, it's a good question, and I'm only disappointed that we did not have with us today, as we did in the previous session, Jerry Hudson, who is former president of Willamette and, if not current, former chair of the board of the Oregon Historical Society, who went into a great explanation of Jason Lee's significant but rather short experience in Oregon and what he did before and after. And President Hudson made a compelling case that, that Senator Hatfield was a more appropriate person to represent us in the Capitol, and that Jason Lee might find a more permanent home back here in Oregon.
Mr. Chair, I suspect that will avoid the lynching across the street.
Representative Mr. Chair,
I want to say, addressing Senator Johnson's comments, I fully agree about the value of the Oregon Historical Society. I do want to say, though, that just remind everyone that the voters of, is it Multnomah County or City of Portland, did approve a property tax measure to help bring them out of their financial doldrums. And I think that's an ongoing assessment for the next 5 years, for which I'm very proud.
Further questions? Thank you both, and thank you to the three of you for the considerable work that's gone into this over the last couple sessions. We appreciate it, and congratulations for making the cut on the video, Representative. Is that a U or a V?
I think it's a U.
Aaron Auer, please, from ROAR.
Excuse me just one moment here. Mr. Chairman, members of the committee, I just want to thank you for the opportunity to give testimony and share some information that you may or may not be aware of.
Need your name first for the record, please.
Aaron Auer. ROAR stands for Reviving Oregon's Amazing Roots. And as a native Oregonian for generation, I was so excited and blessed in discovering our heritage here just a few years back, by looking at the Jason Lee statue with Bible and petition in hand. And so after I began to do some own research and digging on my own, I was, as I said, just blessed and thrilled and had no idea that we're rooted in the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. And it started with this man right here, Hehokus Deacon, and maybe you're aware of him, but he traveled, walked afoot nearly estimated 3,000 miles from the Nez Perce tribe. This man was painted there by Mr. Gatlin, who did probably more for Native American culture by painting the chiefs, the customs, and the people. He came back and has his own testimony of this man, Hehokus Deacon, coming back from the office of General Clark, because they walked, they showed up unannounced, we're here for the Book of Heaven. And it was circulated around the nation, and I don't think I'm going to read the farewell speech of Hehokus Deacon, because it probably takes a little bit too long, and I want to make sure that I share some of these other things, and just bear with me if you would, because I just found out about this hearing just a few hours ago. So I kind of grabbed what I had and was able to get here. So if you just bear with me, please, thank you. But he left St. Louis, Missouri, with a farewell speech which circulated around the entire nation. The Indians basically are looking for the book of heaven. And there caused such a stir among the nation that they handpicked the very best that God had been preparing. And that man's name was Jason Lee. And they thrust Jason Lee and four others out here, a total of five, in 1834. And I call them the first five starting trailblazers, because really that's who they were. They established the Oregon Mission with the Indian children. And we have the sources from the missionaries and the natives of how wonderful the mission was, including this right here, the Salem story. This is 1957, put together by third grade superintendent. It's called the Salem story. But notice here, there's a print here of David Douglas Public Schools Curriculum Office. So this was really circulated around the nation, or excuse me, around the state, showing and teaching our children. This is where the education of Oregon started, with the Indian children. The first orphanage of the old Oregon Territory was in the Oregon Mission, because they brought in a couple of the Indian children. So the orphanage of Oregon was established because of the leadership of Jason Lee and those first five starting trailblazers. And they're teaching that. It says, four Flathead Indian braves started in 1832 to walk all the way from the Oregon country to St. Louis, Missouri to get the Bible. Those who reached St. Louis asked for the book. They asked for teachers to help them read it. After that, many white men thought of going west to preach to the Indians. So this was circulated around the nation about the Indians want the Bible, because according to many of their testimonies, Creator had been given dreams and visions to many of them, and chiefs, about a book coming and a race of people with light white skin to bring that book. And it stirred the nation. So when they came and established the mission here, here's another one. The poor children were dirty and they were covered with vermin. Cyrus Shepherd, who was really the first Indian teacher of the old Oregon country, made them clothes out of cloth that had been used in packing. Jason Lee saw that they were bathed and that the vermin were killed. This is our foundation. This is our heritage, as our representative had mentioned about the foundation. So you've got this, what they're teaching, the great reinforcement. Obviously, I won't go through all that, but look at this right here. Jason Lee was a great man. He helped win the Oregon country for the United States. I want to read that one more time. He helped win the Oregon country for the United States. See, his statue is with Bible and petition in hand. Because after being here for 5 years, he felt the call to go back to Washington, D.C., petition for the statehood with those two, with a couple of the Indian boys. So they circulated around the East Coast there, 1839 and 40, with a petition that stirred the nation, that really lit the fire for the Oregon Trail, the Oregon Fever. Jason Lee is more responsible than anybody else in the entire nation or Oregon to connect the United States to the territory out here, and it was because of the Native Americans' call for the Book of Heaven. He went back petitioning for statehood. He was the original statesman of Oregon. And this is what they used to teach in our public schools. And then it says, he founded Willamette University. Jason Lee's Methodist Church is named after him. He started our own city of Salem. So the education of Oregon started in the Oregon Mission with the Indian children, with Jason Lee, the founder. This is fully documented. Now I have, and I will leave this with you here for material, if you would so wish. It's just what I have. This was our program that we did at the state capitol here 2 years ago, April 16, 2011, and where we told the story of our heritage with the natives, cowboys and Indians, with a big procession from the circuit rider statue to the front steps. the Indians leading the way in their drum and regalia, telling the story. And so this is the entire ceremony here. But I want to read something that you may not be aware of. But in 1920, behind the Speaker's desk of the House of Representatives, they unveiled a life-size portrait painting of Jason Lee. And here's a picture of it behind the Speaker's desk. And Governor Olcott of the day, 1920, this is October 26, 1920, in his address, in part, this is what he said, Governor Ben Olcott. Unhesitantly, I say that Jason Lee was Oregon's most heroic figure. Jason Lee fathered and pioneered one of the greatest missionary movements in all history. By every right of achievement, by every right of peaceful conquest, the portrait of Jason Lee should adorn the halls of the Capitol building in our state as long as those Capitol buildings stand. And then they sung a song, a poem that was read, and then they sung it. And here's the poem. It's just four short verses here. We meet today in this good land of golden grain and fruitful tree, secured by that heroic band whose leader's name was Jason Lee. He came and laid foundations strong on which have risen structures grand, with cities now where thousands throng all over this romantic land. Willing the hardships to endure, he wrought without a fame, without a thought of fame, that he might plant and make secure this heritage in Jesus' name. At Champouy, the patriots met, that timely there they might decide, and in a way we'll never forget under which flag we should abide. They gave honor to Jason Lee so that we would never forget our heritage and the foundation and the roots. I believe it's wonderful to place other statues and monuments to give honor and recognition to great men and women in leadership. And I have no doubt of Mark Hatfield's leadership and influence and blessing to the state and to the nation. But to me, the replacement of Jason Lee's statue from our heritage, from these documents, and we have many more, would be to simply destroy our foundation. He had an effect on the entire United States of America that opened the way for the great migration of the Oregon Trail. He should represent us for all time, the state of Oregon, as we add to other honorable men and women. But he was the trailblazer. He was the first draft choice. You know, talk about the first five starting trailblazers. This is the trailblazer state. And the first franchise pick was Jeff Petrie. Does anyone remember him? But he was the first choice. What if we remove Jeff Petrie from the foundation, the first franchise pick? Well, Jason Lee was that. I have here...
Mr. Auer, I think we've got your point. I'm just going to ask you to try and wrap up in the next minute or two, if you could do that, please.
All right.
Thank you.
We've got the photographs here from the placement of the John McLaughlin and Jason Lee statues here in 1953, which is actually this. It was February 1953, as was cited, 60 years ago. My question would be, why replace any of this statue of our heritage? To give honor to Jason Lee, as it states right here, whereas Jason Lee can be best honored by replacing his statue. We already have a statue, a replica, here on our state capitol grounds. We can give honor to Jason Lee and everybody else without replacing the one in Statuary Hall, which the Oregon legislature chose in 1921. I'll close with this here. And why would we choose Jason Lee over McLaughlin in the replacement? So I don't oppose the adding the statue of Mark Hatfield. I oppose the replacement of Jason Lee. There's three right now in Washington, D.C. Yes, only two can be represented, and as was said, somehow Mr. Baker, another statue was placed there somehow. It just seems to me that we must make sure we don't do something in just a moment that would change everything for our whole state and for the nation. I got a text from my wife earlier today, not knowing about this hearing today. Like I said, I just found out about it. But she was at the library and she texted me this. And I want to read it to you here in closing. Again, she has no knowledge of this hearing today when she texts this. At the library reading about the Holocaust Memorial Museum in Washington, D.C., referred to by Sarah Bloomfield as a permanent living museum, words in Isaiah are engraved in the main hall. You are my witnesses to see and to learn and to speak and to put into action. It implies responsibility now. We must preserve all living memorials that remind us of our liberty and freedom. Every day, the free gift of liberty found in Christ alone is threatened by those who do not want us to learn and to respond to what we already know. And I would appeal to you, this committee, from my heart, as a man that loves Oregon, as many of you do as well. This is our precious heritage, and it represents us to Washington, D.C. for all time. I plead and appeal with all sincerity that the Jason Lee statue would not be replaced by anybody. If we're going to add another statue, maybe we can add Hehokus Deacon to honor the Native Americans, because that's one of the things we're working and endeavoring to do, is to give proper honor and recognition to the people, First Nations people that were here before. And we've been spreading this knowledge and message to all. He would be a good representative to add as well. So I just pray you do the right thing. God bless you. Thank you again for your time.
Thank you for coming in today and for your testimony. Are there any questions? All right. Thank you, Mr. Auer. We'll close the public hearing on House Bills 2289 and 2387. Since there is an amendment, we won't be able to move the bill out, but we can adopt the amendment today. So I'm going to open a work session. And
would you be interested in this? I'm sorry. What I was reading from this.
Let's talk about that after we're finished here. Open a work session on House Bill 2387, which is the bill that we'll be moving.
Mr. Chair, I move to adopt the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2387.
Vice Chair Hoyle moves the Dash 1 amendments to House Bill 2387. Is there any discussion on the motion? Representative Berger.
I can't talk. But I want to put on the record that if he could put it on the record for me.
Representative Barnhart will speak for Representative Berger.
Thank you.
She never lets him
Berger
do that.
Has a bug and is having a hard time talking today. But she says she thinks the amendment appropriately substitutes the Historical Society for the Capitol Foundation. And I think if I could add to that, the point is the Historical Society really is the appropriate organization rather than the Capitol Foundation for to be in this bill for the purposes of the bill.
Good job.
Thank you.
Thank you, Representative Berger. Further discussion on the motion to adopt the Dash 1 amendments? Any objection? Motion carries. Amendment is adopted. And that's it. Okay, we'll close the work session on House Bill 2387. And there is no further business before the committee, so we are adjourned. Thank you.